Mark Simone on the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Hey, it's a beautiful sunny day out there. I can't figure out whether it's going to be a rainy day, a sunny day. It looks like mostly sunny today. Getting towards the end of August already. We got lots to get to. Obviously, we'll get to Eric Garner. We'll get to Jeffrey Epstein. We'll get to President Trump. We'll get to crazy Joe Biden. He's got his first campaign ad with your car spying on you. You may be a little shocked. We'll get to that coming up. Prince Andrew looking pretty guilty here. The president making it clear there's no recession. There's no hint of a recession. I know there was that inversion last Monday. That was like a two-minute inversion. It must take place over weeks to mean anything. And there's no hint of recession. Democrats pushing very hard for a recession, trying to make it look like a recession, trying to cause a recession. They figure that's their only hope of winning in 2020. So they're pushing recession. There's a New York Times piece today that shows you that even though the stock market looks like it's going up, it's not really going up. They have this chart where it goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. It's sort of that staircase kind of a pattern. But they show you that if you go back 6 months, it's really about the same, as if this is horrible news, signaling a disastrous economy. Actually, what that would mean is the economy's pretty good. Remember, once President Trump gets into office, the stock market takes off. It gets to an all-time high, highest stock market ever. And if they point out in the Times that it's been pretty much the same and steady for 8 months, that's a good sign. The one problem when you zoom up in the stock market is you don't want a bubble. You don't want it to pop. If it stayed pretty steady for 6 months, that's a sign that it's solidifying and ready to go up again, usually, traditionally. So Jeffrey Epstein, something is very, very strange about this will. They needed a witness, and they got the El Chapo lawyer who happened to be in the prison. I imagine if you're the El Chapo lawyer, you become the hot lawyer for all these crazy whatevers. Hey, he was El Chapo's lawyer. I'll get him. These guys sometimes aren't that bright. They don't think to themselves, wait a minute, El Chapo got sentenced to 1,000 years. Why do I want this lawyer? But he happened to be around, so he was the witness. Something's a little fishy about this will. Jeffrey Epstein, as we discussed yesterday, had lawyers from the biggest law firms that he had hired visiting him all day long. When the lawyer comes to visit, you get to leave your cell and you go into an office. They have a bunch of offices where you meet with lawyers. You can look at your phone, they got a computer, you can do stuff in there. So obviously you'd rather be in there than your cell. So he paid the lawyers to visit him for 12 hours a day. Now, that can cost you a lot of money. These lawyers can get $2,000, $3,000 an hour. You bring a couple of associates, you're up to $3,500 an hour. But he would pay it. It would get him out of his cell. So he had lawyers visiting for 12 hours a day. Now, all these big lawyers can't always be there 12 hours every day, so they'd send other people. There were reports of this nice-looking young woman who kept him company one day, but apparently she was a junior lawyer at the law firm. Now, if you've hired the biggest law firms in the world, these law firms have all kinds of departments. They got a criminal department, or this department, or that department. And, of course, they got a department that does estates and trusts, that does wills. So Jeffrey Epstein wanted to redo his will. Why would he be anywhere near the El Chapo lawyer? He's got the biggest law firms, and they come to see him all day, every day. All he had to say was, hey, send your estate guys tomorrow. I want to redo my will. So something's fishy there. Also, he changed the executors to, there's two longtime employees he had. I guess he trusts these guys. He made them the executors. Although, I don't know if they have to do it. They may turn it down. Otherwise, his brother might be the executor. But it looks like anybody will turn down being executor of this will because there are going to be a million lawsuits. As the executor, you have to fight off all these lawsuits from all the victims. So who'd want this job? He put everything into trust. Even that's suspicious. That's perfectly normal. One thing you do with a will is you take all of your assets and you put them in a trust. And that way, it's just legal stuff. When you die, it's easier and faster to probate the will. In other words, if you just die without this, then they have to go to court and all the assets have to be moved. It can take a year and a half. If you put it in a trust, It can probate much faster. In a few months, it could distribute the assets. But there really are no relatives, except for that brother, and he's already got plenty of assets. So what was the concern there, that somebody would have to wait 18 months instead of 8 months to get the assets? It didn't make any sense why he would redo this. So that needs a little looking into. Prince Andrew looks guilty as hell because he had a statement put out saying he had no idea about this stuff with Jeffrey Epstein. He said he's appalled to hear these things. No idea. Now, of course, we don't even know Jeffrey Epstein, and we all knew about this 10 years ago when he was arrested, convicted. It was front page news for months. He went to jail. He got out of jail. He was tied in with Bill Clinton. Everybody in the world knew about this. So this Prince Andrew is claiming to be the most clueless man on the face of the earth. He said he's appalled by it. He would never be anywhere near such stuff. Although they have video of him coming in and out of Epstein's house. There's one video where this young girl leaves the house and opening the door is Prince Andrew saying goodbye to her. So he looks guilty as hell. The statement makes him look even more guilty. I don't know what they can do to him. I mean, I'm sure they would love to question him, but he's a member of the royal family. He's not in the country, and I don't think he'll return here for a long time. And I don't know if it's legally the same, but I have a feeling if you're a member of the royal family, it's kind of like diplomatic immunity. I assume they can't touch him or do anything to him. So the Eric Garner case, what do we think here? And I think you had the meeting of the two biggest idiots on earth, Garner, a petty criminal. He'd been arrested before a number of times, so he knows what it means to be arrested. He knows you can't resist. So he's just acting like a moron. Pantaleo, the key thing here for Pantaleo is he escaped at every turn. He escaped criminal charges. He could have been charged in front of a grand jury locally. He escaped those charges. Then it went federal. He was cleared there. So that's important to remember. You got nothing criminal here. He was cleared twice of anything criminal. So nothing Pantaleo did was illegal. And then within the department, it looked like technically the hold was okay, technically rules-wise, but the truth is it wasn't okay. It's not that he did anything wrong technically, legally. You could justify it. You could explain it. They'll give you this whole explanation. It's technically not a chokehold. Even though it looks like he's choking the guy to death, but it's technically not a chokehold. But despite all of this, had you had a cop with a little more finesse in this situation, a little more nuance to this, you might not have had the guy die. Now, I know there are cops will tell you, you've got to defuse the situation immediately. You have a crowd gathering. It's becoming a dangerous situation. You've got to wrap this up quick, and that's why he did that. But on the other hand, if you kill the guy and he's lying there dead, you're going to be there now for 3 hours. So that killing the guy is no way to defuse the situation and get out of there fast. You had supervisors of all kind, black, white, every color. So it's not a racial thing necessarily. He just looks like a cop with no nuance, no finesse in a situation. You're dealing with a very fat, out of shape guy who looks like he's got asthma and heart trouble and all of that kind of stuff. The one thing the NYPD judge said in judging the case was, even though the hold was legal, I know it's technically not a chokehold, but it is a chokehold. If it's not technically one, you got your arm all the way around the guy's neck and you're crushing it. I mean, to me, that's choking. So even though it wasn't, the administrative judge said there was a moment there, you can see it, where he should have loosened up a little or adjusted that grip, realizing how close to dangerous the situation was for the guy. But again, Garner, a total moron. If you're going to be a petty criminal, fine. But he's been arrested before. He knows the drill. Once you've got all those cops around you and they're trying to handcuff you, you got to go. You got to go with them. That's it. You can't just stand there screaming. You can't resist arrest or something bad is going to happen. So you had two guys who just should never have met. It's a horrible situation. The real problem here is you have no leadership in New York City right now. Police commissioner is a good guy, but he's not Ray Kelly. He's not Bill Bratton. He's not a big, prominent, major figure in New York who commands respect. He's an unknown guy to most people. And he's kind of in a hostage situation right now I mean, this is a mayor who clearly would fire him in a second and put in who knows who as a police commissioner. So he's not got a lot of control over the situation. I assume the mayor made the decision. But the problem is you got a mayor, even if that's his decision, you got a mayor who's an absentee mayor, who's never here. He's part-time at best. He has no relationship with the public. He never communicates. I know he's on New York One talking to three people with, what's his name there, Errol Lewis. But he's never really communicating. He doesn't connect with the public. He never talks to the public. He doesn't get involved. He's the most absentee mayor we've ever seen in New York. You got homeless people all over the streets. You got the police department totally rudderless, leaderless, as far as the mayor. And the only time he ever does anything is when it's donors or big lobbyists. Then the mayor is right on the phone talking to you. But that's the problem. Now, this move may have been the de Blasio thinking, well, this will appease the situation. It really won't. The cop haters won't be appeased by this. They'll be encouraged by this. That's the problem. Pantaleo, I think, was offered, or they were trying to put together some deal a month or two ago just to get him out of the department. He would retire with his benefits, with his pension. That probably would have been the best situation. He could have saved everybody a lot of trouble and retired a few months ago. Yeah, listen, I understand Pat Lynch. He's a good guy. He runs the police union. He's doing what he's supposed to do, which is stick up for his guy.
The evidence showed, and many of you saw, and the public saw as well, that this was not a crime. This was a chaotic situation.
It was a chaotic situation, but let's be honest. I mean, let's be realistic. The public saw this incredibly fit cop choking a big, fat guy who probably couldn't get through this fight. So, like the judge said, he probably should have readjusted that grip at some point.
All we've ever asked for New York City police officers is fairness in the process. We did not and have not gotten that.
Yeah. Listen, he's doing his, everybody's doing their job here. He's doing his job. Police commissioner's doing his job. The mayor's doing his job, which is to be a far left nut job, appeasing all the wrong people, all the crazy socialists and all that.
We are asking for a no confidence vote in the mayor and the police commissioner of the city of New York.
Well, I'd leave the police commissioner out. He's just doing what he's told. No confidence vote in the mayor makes sense for a number of reasons. One, you're never here. We never see you. You're not running anything. You're always away. Mayor de Blasio.
Today will not bring Eric Garner back, but I hope it brings some small measure of closure and peace to the Garner family.
Yeah, I understand. Listen, if you're the guy's mother, you know, you love your son, you're gonna, she's not wrong. But somewhere in this, the mayor's got to make clear, this Garner was a bad guy. I'm a petty bad guy, a very petty criminal, but he's resisting arrest. He's carrying on like an idiot with all these guys. And the mayor, you know, but it's de Blasio, so what do you expect?
Today, we have finally seen justice done.
Now, the other Pantaleo problem was, and the judge brought this out, he was lying to investigators, he was changing his story, that kind of stuff. So, but the important thing to remember with Pantaleo, he escaped on two occasions, local and federal, the criminal charges. That's a big deal. So I see the phones going crazy here. We'll take these calls in a minute. 800-321-0710 is the number. We'll also get to Chris Cuomo. Gee, I feel bad for this guy. You know, you saw the viral video of Chris Cuomo. That was everywhere. That was the most talked about video for 2 days. So he was on vacation all week. He could never respond. Last night was the big return to CNN. The big final moment where he responded. Do you see it anywhere? Look at the New York Post. It's not even in there. Look at this website. Look at Drudge. It's not even on there. The poor guy. I mean, he gets slaughtered every night by Hannity and by even Rachel Maddow, who gets slaughtered by Hannity. Even she beats him. So you figure this would be his moment to get everybody on board. Nobody. And it's kind of his fault. He really just made a little short couple of sentences speech about it, and that was the end of it. So this was his one chance to get somebody to pay attention. Anyway, we'll take some calls in a minute. We'll get to Garner in a moment. 800-321-0710 is the number. Check out the webpage. There's some good stuff up there. Now, Johnny Carson, of course, you remember him. He was the greatest late-night host ever. Watch this. It's his warning to today's late night hosts about not getting too political and what it can do to you. It's a pretty interesting clip. And then Gilligan's Island, take a look at this. Some of the secrets, things you never knew about Gilligan's Island. Also watch this. There's Weekend at Epstein Island. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
He's always a headline ahead.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710WOR.
Well, the phones are going crazy. Let's take a call or two. Let's go to Ian in Long Island. Hey, Ian.
Hi, Mark. I just wanted to put the onus really was squarely where it belongs. The $3 pack went to like $13 from government taxes because they knew better. And they created a whole market for a man.
Well,
like
let me just explain what you're talking about for people. Garner was selling loose cigarettes. The reason they do that is cigarettes cost a fortune now. And he was one of those guys that stands out in front of the stores and sells cheap cigarettes to people. So you don't have to go pay the big price at the store. But those stores, that whole association hired a big lobbyist. And again, the mayor, all he does is take care of donors and lobbyists. So the lobbyist called City Hall that guys were selling these loose cigarettes. So this whole situation is really the mayor's fault. City Hall called the local precinct and told them to go nuts and put a stop to this. That's why the over response to this one moron and his loose cigarettes.
And can I say one more thing, Mark?
Yes.
I would like to, because that's where, and then they should have just told Eric, listen, I'm going to tase you or I'm going to get a canine unit. And then he would, you know, just went, I think the whole protocol of jumping on
the idea of the guy being chewed up by dogs, I don't think that makes for a better video. I just think the problem is, so if you're looking at this situation and saying, why so many cops? Why the crazy response over a guy? Stupid little petty criminal with his loose cigarettes. It's because the mayor and City Hall had put tremendous pressure on the local precinct, something the mayor and City Hall have conveniently forgotten about. Let's go to Al in Jericho. Hey, Al.
Hey, Mark. Big fan.
Thanks.
Just wanted two quick points. You're right. They should have released that grip a little bit. There were five guys on him, and he said, I can't breathe 11 times. My other point is, yeah, he had to fire him because I believe there would have been a major uproar and rioting, and he'll sue the city and the police commissioner, and the next thing you know, he'll win 2 years later.
I don't see how he wins.
I don't know how he wins.
He lied to investigators. Administrative judge has already done the trial in the police department. I don't see how he wins.
Yeah, well...
Listen, he's won in that he escaped the criminal charges twice. Rightfully so, but that's the most important thing. Let's go to Mario in New Jersey. Hey, Mario.
Hi, Mark. Just one question. They fired this guy and took his pension away.
Yeah.
And yet, Shelley Silver and Dean Skelos, one is in the can and one is about to go to the can, and they still have their pension. How does that work?
Well, the reason that works, they're all public servants, but if you're a cop, you're really a public servant. You're underpaid, and all you do all day is try to save people and help people. If you're the other kind of public servant, Dean Skelos, Shelley Silver, you're still technically called a public servant, but you're there to make a fortune, enrich yourself, help nobody except donors, and then when you get caught, you've amassed so much money, you can hire the best lawyers in the world, and whoever's running the system... you've done them so many political favors, they help you. That's why, look at this Shelley Silver. How long ago was he convicted? Sentenced to 5 million years 5 years ago. He's still not in jail. That's what happens. Let's go to Vincent in Brooklyn. Hey, Vincent.
Good morning, Mark. Unfortunately, Eric Garner worsened his situation because when he was defiant and belligerent, then they had to take him in. If he would have just said, all right, look, if he would have chilled out, they would have gave him a death summons. He would have went down to Center Street a couple of weeks later and paid the thing. And I'm telling you, I've been in that situation. You act up.
Which situation have you been in? The choking one or the getting choked?
Both. Oh. Mark, what I wanted to also say is last night on Joe Conte's show, Anthony Scaramucci was on.
Hey.
This guy's a real jerk.
Yeah,
he sounds like the kid who asked the girl out to the prom, got refused, and then goes around bad-mouthing the girl or the kid that was thrown off the football team, and now all of a sudden, all of his teammates, they're the ones who are rotten. This guy's squeezing sour grapes. He made it sound like people in the White House are walking behind President Trump with a straitjacket because the president is so unhinged that he's going to go off the wall with the nuclear codes. I'm telling you, it was terrible and disgusting. They were trying to nail him down last night, and they couldn't.
He was
terrible.
He's desperate to be on TV or radio. Yeah, Vincent, let me ask you a question. Let's say you needed a bodyguard. Not that you would, but would you hire Pantaleo to be a bodyguard? Or would you say to yourself, this guy gets out of control a little?
No, he got out of control, but what they should have told him is, look, chill out, we'll write you a ticket, just show us some ID, or we'll drive you to your house, get ID so we can write the ticket up. You go down to Center Street, you pay your fine, and that's it. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, that's how it works. He unfortunately...
How many times you've been down to Center Street?
What?
How many times you've been to Center Street? That's enough of an answer. I got you.
Okay, but unfortunately, he made it worse. You never tell a cop, get your hands off me, or what do you think you're doing? That's what he said to the cop. I mean, back in the day, about 50 years ago, I tried to run away from a cop, and there was another cop around the corner.
Yeah.
Came out from behind the corner, and I got the nightstick right across the head.
Yeah, you can tell.
I learned my lesson pretty quick. You know what I mean?
All right.
You don't do stuff like that.
All right.
Just shut up. Hey, Mark, you never see wise guys acting like that.
No. You guys know the drill.
You never. And before you know, you have your lawyer. Your lawyer's there before
you. Oh, no, you guys are great. You actually say to the cop, hey, I'll be out of the station before you will. I'll be home before.
Exactly. Hold on. By the way, go get me a cheeseburger and some fries and a shake when you go down to Central Book, and I'm hungry. But anyway, that's...
All right, Vincent. Excellent call.
Give me the words, Mark.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, that's really the problem. You had the two biggest morons meeting. Listen, this Garner's an idiot. You know, he's selling these loose cigarettes. I understand it's a very petty crime, but you can't resist arrest. You can't act like that. You can't do that. Pantaleo, on the other hand, I know they can explain to you for hours how it's technically by the books. It's technically not a chokehold. Meantime, it looked like a chokehold, and he ended up killing the guy. And I know every cop will tell you, you got to defuse the situation. A crowd is gathering. You've got to wrap that up as fast as you can. Well, if you kill the guy and he's lying there, you're going to be there then for 3 hours. That's not defusing the situation. So, Pantaleo should just thank God he escaped all criminal charges and maybe should have retired 6 months ago and ended all of this. And you got the other problem, the third moron, de Blasio, who caused the whole situation because donors who own those stores were complaining to him about Garner and the loose cigarette sales hurting their business. So City Hall put tremendous pressure on the local precinct. That was why they over-responded to the situation and made this ridiculous mess. De Blasio and everybody have completely forgotten about, conveniently forgotten that that's what happened. Anyway, when we come back, Howie Carr will be with us. We'll talk about Michael Goodwin, usually with us on Monday, and then he's supposed to be here today. He'll be here tomorrow, so you'll get your Michael Goodwin fix tomorrow. But we'll talk to Howie Carr next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Jeff McKinney.
All right, Mark, thanks. The PBA calling for a no-confidence vote against Mayor de Blasio and Police Commissioner O'Neill. President Pat Lynch says de Blasio forced the firing of Officer Daniel Pantaleo by prejudging the case. Pantaleo is suing to get his job and his pension back. Concerned with the possibility of a recession, reports say the White House is considering a temporary cut in payroll taxes. They could also roll back some tariffs, White House denying the report. Jeffrey Epstein signed his will just 2 days before he committed suicide. Epstein transferred his nearly $600 million fortune into a trust, which experts say is pretty standard. There are no details on the beneficiaries. Your next update at 11 o'clock, breaking news at 1. Start your day with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, 6 to 10 tomorrow. I'm Jeff McKinney, 710 WOR.
Trough of low pressure digs into the northeast in New England and helps to bring in some cooler temperatures for the close of the week. Sunshine here this afternoon at 86. A few clouds tonight, a shower possible late, low 75. Scattered thunderstorms for tomorrow, especially in the lower Hudson Valley. Few could be strong, 85. Thursday, partly cloudy, high 87. Sunshine this hour, 81 WOR.
Good day, everyone. I'm Ron Insana. On Wall Street, stocks looking for a reason to extend the last couple days' rally. The market's, of course, keying on Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell's upcoming speech on Friday in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, to determine whether or not the Federal Reserve is going to get more aggressive cutting interest rates. Overseas markets decidedly mix in both Europe and Asia this morning, while they also are waiting on new catalysts, new stimulus, to get their economies moving. As for trade talks, nothing on the agenda today, although the president reportedly is looking at rolling back some tariffs and also cutting taxes, though the White House denied yesterday that they were looking at any payroll tax reductions to stimulate an economy that they say is going along just fine. As for other markets, we have oil prices a little firmer, gold steadying out after losing its luster in the last several days, interest rates ticking just a touch lower, the yield on the 10-year Treasury back below 1.6%, waiting on a variety of retail companies to report their earnings, but really focus Fed and that upcoming speech from Fed Chair Jay Powell on Friday to move the markets one way or another. I'm Ron Insana for New York 710 WOR.
Hey, Mike Lindell, he's like the Steve Jobs of sleep, the CEO, the inventor of the MyPillow. It became the number one most popular pillow in history. 40 million people use a MyPillow, and he's very thankful to WOR. He's been with us for a million years here, and he wants to do something for all of our listeners. So right now, check out MyPillow.com and click where it says Radio Listener Special, and he's got all kinds of great deals. The MyPillow Body Pillow, it used to be $85. Now it's $29.99. That's 65% off. They got all kinds of impressive offers on all the other stuff, too. So go to MyPillow.com. Go to the Radio Listener Special. You get 30% off the mattress topper. You get the two premium MyPillows for $35 each. Just go to MyPillow.com. You get the 60-night money-back guarantee. You get the 10-year warranty. Radio Listener Special. And then just use the promo code WOR. That'll get you those discounts. So go to MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Special and just use the promo code W.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Zone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Well, Howie Carr, one of the great broadcasters, one of my favorite talk show hosts in America, best-selling author, great columnist. You can go to HowieCarrShow.com. You can get his latest books. You can get his column. You can get his podcast, HowieCarrShow.com. Howie Carr, how you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm in. I'm watching the mainstream media touting a recession.
Yeah.
They got everything but the pom-poms out, rooted for this. Now, what I want to know, Mark, is they've been telling us for like 2 years that the economic upswing was all the doing of Barack Obama. Yeah. So now is this recession, alleged recession that they're touting, did Obama do this too? Yeah. Or is this all Trump's fault?
Yeah, you know, if a yield curve inverts, that signals recession. But it has to invert for like 3 weeks. It inverted for like 3 minutes, which didn't mean anything. And they keep forgetting average time for the recession after that signal is 22 months. So it's not going to happen before the election. They can't speed it up. They're really carried away with their power or lack of it.
I remember, didn't Krugman write a column in the New York Times the day after the election that the everything was going to tank, get out of everything?
Yeah.
Actually, the Boston Globe ran a fake front page before the election saying if Trump was elected, there was going to be, if not a depression, a major recession. And so, I guess if you predict something sooner or later, you're going to be right. It has to happen.
Yeah, except remember Carl Icahn, the great stock genius. He was a close friend of Trump's. He was at the election night headquarters, and the second they called the election, he left. Nobody knew why he would leave. Turned out he went back to his office and bought like 20 million shares of everything and made a couple billion that night. So, hey, would you agree the most embarrassing guy in America right now is Anthony Scaramucci?
Yeah, he's a strange guy. You know him well. I met him once at the White House. The other thing about him is he's very short. He's about 5'6". Have you noticed that?
Well, he's a good looking guy, but
I don't know. He's just a I don't know. I mean, he's more embarrassing than Bill Kristol. I think he's hanging out with Bill Kristol now, isn't he?
But you get these guys who are
Maybe they can restart the Weekly Standard, and they call it the Weekly WEAKLY Weekly Standard.
But you get these guys who are big successes in their field. Yet as soon as you put them near a television camera, it's like a drug. Psychologists have written about this addiction, and then they'll say or do anything to stay in front of that camera. I guess that's where he is now, right?
Yeah, no, he's like he's this year's Avenetti. Remember Avenetti?
Yeah.
The same thing. I mean, Avenetti, the green room was was crack cocaine or something. It's the same for Scaramucci. They get in that red light goes on and they think they're the king of the universe. You're right. I don't get it at all. But who is he trying to impress here? You know, and is he still with his wife? Or I mean, he's had it. Why doesn't he go back to the market? He made all this money in the market. But you're right. I mean, that's the other thing. These guys, they can never be satisfied with, you know, making 50 or 100 or $200 million and moving to the Hamptons and buying a Bentley or something. They've got to become sages, political wise men.
Yeah.
This guy, he's embarrassing himself. Yeah, you know who else is embarrassing is Joe Biden. Did you see Jill Biden yesterday or 2 days ago? She was in New Hampshire and in Manchester, and she said, "Look, you know."
Joe Biden
hasn't been to, Joe Biden.
Oh, Jill Biden, yeah.
Wife, Jill Biden, doctor. Yeah. That's doctor to you, Mark. she has a PhD in education, and they call her doctor. Can she write a prescription for me? I don't know. I need some drugs. If you can't write a prescription, in my opinion, you're not a doctor. But anyway, Doctor Jill Biden is up there in New Hampshire, and she says, "Look, I know a lot of you in this diner. You may not like my husband." She basically said he's a doddering old fool, but he can win. He can win. So you got to be with him. I mean, this is the pitch. And meanwhile, the fake India, Elizabeth Warren, is out in Sioux City, Iowa. And she says, "I made a mistake." She made a mistake. I mean, she didn't make a mistake. She committed ethnic fraud. How is that a mistake? She knew exactly what she was doing. She was going nowhere. She started checking the box, and all of a sudden she has not one, but two Ivy League tenured professorships. I mean, what kind of mistake was that?
Now, Howie Carr, you've been covering her forever. You are the Elizabeth Warren expert of the world. What made her go address those Indians? Was that her way of getting it off the table finally?
My feeling, Mark, is that she's really made some asinine statements about the police. And, you know, you guys are into it in New York with this whole thing with firing that cop. But she said on the fifth anniversary of the Ferguson, Missouri shooting of Michael Brown, she and Kamala Harris, who's another lawyer, alleged lawyer, both tweeted out that Michael Brown had been murdered. That was an outrageous thing for her to say. Last year she said that the American criminal justice system is racist front to back. This was when two cops had just been murdered in cold blood in Massachusetts. I mean, people, I think, are why. And then she said it. That tweet went out. The Michael Brown was murdered. That went out like 48 hours before the six cops were shot in Philadelphia. And it's just, I think she was trying to, as embarrassing as that performance was yesterday in Iowa, she was trying to change the subject from the police. That's my take.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. So when she says Michael Brown was murdered, obviously she knows he wasn't murdered. Courts have ruled on that. So why does she do that? Just because she figures that'll get me votes and I don't care what the hell I have to do to get him?
Yeah, I mean, look at Bernie yesterday. He came out. He wants to do it with cash bail. So you kill somebody or you beat up your wife, and you get caught with 18 pounds of fentanyl in the trunk of your car. You just they write you a parking ticket or a library fine, and they let you go. But what are these people thinking of? I don't know. I don't know what the plus side is to say something that Michael Brown was murdered. And the other thing is, like I said, she is a tenured professor. It was at two Ivy League universities. Kamala Harris, the attorney general of the largest state in the country, and then before that, the district attorney of San Francisco. I mean, do these people not know the difference between self-defense and murder? One of them sent it out. I forget which one sent it out first. In 5 minutes, said he's been murdered, and the other one sent it out. Five minutes later. You know, echoing the thoughts or mimicking the thoughts or plagiarizing, however you want to describe it. It's just, I don't know. I don't know how they win a national, a general election, when they're attacking this far to the left. How is it a good look to attack police?
Yeah, and obviously, not only was he not murdered, at the time he was resisting arrest and trying to wrestle the cop's gun away from
him. And he just robbed the little convenience store down the block.
Yeah.
And he was cleared not only by the state and county authorities in Missouri, he was cleared by the Obama Holder Justice Department. They sent a raft of lawyers down there looking to get him hook him on a civil rights violation, and they couldn't because he didn't do anything wrong. And they're just so desperate for votes and so willing to pander that they would say something like this. And I think Elizabeth Warren at some level is her campaign is certainly more nimble than Kamala Harris's. So they decided to, you know, go out to Iowa and take the heat that way. I think that's what it was.
Well, Howie Carr, always great talking to you. You should be listening to Howie Carr's podcast. Go to HowieCarrShow.com. You can get his books, Kennedy Babylon. Yep. And
Mark, we got a new podcast up. You may have seen it. Joe, with the latest Kennedy is getting into the race, apparently, again. Yeah. Ed Markey, the feeble junior senator from Massachusetts, who's 73. So I put up a podcast, 100 Years of Kennedy Political Homicides. They've stabbed all of their opponents in the back, usually Democrats, but occasionally a Republican. It's on my website, HowieCarrShow.com. It's called Kennedy Conspiracies. I think you'll like it. We have sound cuts, and it's a lot of history you haven't heard. And even if you've read my books, there's new history.
And he's the Kennedy expert of the world. So go to HowieCarrShow.com and listen to that podcast. Howie Carr, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Take care. Everybody check out the webpage. Some great stuff up there. Johnny Carson, the greatest late-night host ever. Watch this. This is his warning for today's late-night hosts about what can happen if you get too political. Take a look at that. Also, if you love Gilligan's Island, here's some secrets and facts about Gilligan's Island that you probably never knew. Also, watch this. Weekend at Epstein Island. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.